You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the Game, yeah, Building the Game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today's Monday, March 14th, 2015. No, excuse me, 2016. You're listening to episode 98.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa,
it just gets worse and worse.
We're going to get there. My name's Rob. That's Jason. Can I talk to you about something, Jason?
Yes, you can.
I want to talk to you about the state that we live in. Last week, we were unable to record the way we planned on because of a massive blizzard.
Yeah.
Today, when I left my house to come to your house to do this recording, it was 66 degrees outside.
I know. And the snow's all gone.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few little bits of it in the piles in places, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a place we live, huh?
Mm-hmm. And before the blizzard, it was 50 degrees 2 days before the blizzard. Yeah.
So crazy swings. It's strange. I wore a t-shirt to your house today.
Yeah, yeah.
No jacket.
Yeah, I went to figure out what jacket to put on this morning and was like, I'm just not going to wear one.
Yeah, right. And it's supposed to get cold again next week.
It was it?
I think so. Somebody told me that.
I'm so tired of this crap.
Yeah.
Well, never mind, you don't. So soon we get to go to Florida, but you're not going to Florida.
I'm not going to Florida this time.
You suck. It's going to be boring.
It's all right. So we booked our hotel for UnPub. You booked our hotel for UnPub.
Yeah.
And we were going to fly, and then we realized that flights were $500.
Yeah.
Last year it was like $200.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what changed there.
It's close to the time. Also, it's April now, not February. So another reason why I wish that this was in February, not April.
Yeah.
Or March. March would have been cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your prices are going to go up around April. Plus, apparently, every event ever is happening in Baltimore that weekend. There is the Baltimore Orioles are doing something Oriole-ish. Yeah. I don't know what.
Oriole-licious?
It could be the first game. It could be the last game. It could be the World Series. I honestly don't know. It's probably not the World Series because we got a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty confident with how close that is to Camden Yards. I think it's Camden Yards.
I think so.
So I always thought Camden Yards was a prison, but I think it's just the place.
I don't know.
So there's that. There's like a Rihanna concert, which you're probably just going to ditch on public to go check that out.
Well, you only got a tag table, so you got plenty of time on your hands.
Yes. Sweet.
Yeah.
Then... we got a room at the Days Inn because a nice lady named India is my favorite lady ever. And I'm pretty sure she worked there last year.
Okay.
Because the name India, like I'm bad with names, but I'm pretty sure I remember a lady with the name India. And she was great. She was able to squeeze us into the Days Inn, even though it's overbooked because she's awesome.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't listen to this show, but I want you to know that she's awesome.
Right.
If you go to UnPub and you go to the Days Inn and there's a lady named India behind the counter, I want you to say, hey, you're awesome.
High five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she is. I plan on doing that if she's there.
Sure.
In addition to that, apparently there's a cheerleading convention.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting.
Right. We'll wear our best.
Yes. and they're all staying in our hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Hotel full of cheerleaders and two gamers. That's weird. We don't know, though, what the age range of these cheerleaders is.
Right.
So,
I'm guessing, because it would be the worst thing ever, that they're either middle schoolers or high schoolers, and it's just going to be this high-pitched sound emanating through the walls.
Through the walls. That's my fear
all
as
the
well.
Time. That's my fear.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if they were college cheerleaders, they'd just be drunk and passed out at night, and we would just not hear anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's true.
It's tough to say.
I was just trying to spin it in a positive light. Uh-huh. That maybe it wouldn't be loud and we wouldn't hear a high-pitched squelch the entire time, but we'll see.
It'll be weird. It'll be a weird crowd. Like, so to think of it from the other perspective, right? So UnPub was a huge hit last year.
Yeah.
Lots of people came out.
Yeah.
Okay? This year is, I think they have more space this year, right?
Yes, they do.
And they're doing it on a weekend that's going to be super busy. So maybe they will also have just a lot more walk-in traffic.
Right. Or it could backfire and maybe everybody's going to go see the Rihanna concert.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much the same demographic, right?
I'm guessing, though, that the open to the public part will be over before Rihanna gets started.
That's probably true.
Yeah. So, because I would guess that she's probably going to put on a show in the evening.
Yeah.
And I think UnPub goes till 6 or 7.
I don't even know.
I don't remember, but something like that.
So we're driving, though, is the moral of the story. We are driving to Umpub. It's going to be great.
We were going to fly, and then our wives
were like, hey, guys, that's really expensive.
If you spend that money, you will, I will stab you in the face.
To be clear, my wife didn't say that. She just said, that's a lot of money to spend on a plane ticket. She said, I thought it was cheaper when you guys talked about it previously. And I was like, it was. And then we forgot. And she was like, really? I said, yeah, I mean, like, don't ask you and Rob and I to book travel together because we're really bad at it.
Yeah.
I still haven't booked my flights for the work trip I'm going on in like a week or two after that.
Good job.
Yeah. For there, I'll get a flight out of Kalamazoo, though, because...
Right. And but who cares? Because you don't have to pay for that.
Right. So
that'll be
instead of driving to Grand Rapids. But, well, now that we're not going to, so that would be counterproductive. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing we'll leave at like 5 in the morning on Friday and just try to...
I don't think we need to leave that early. It's about a 9.5-10 hour drive.
Yeah, but if we don't leave at 5 in the morning, we don't get there before rush hour, and then we hate ourselves.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we leave at 5 in the morning, should get us there about 3.
Yeah. Okay.
So we need to figure those details out, and then we'll either, now that we're driving, we'll either stay Sunday night or leave Sunday if it's boring.
Well, we've got a hotel Sunday night, right?
We do. We don't have to. I mean, we could go if we wanted. These are details we could probably work out not on the show, but hey, it's a documentary podcast.
Right. What car are we going to drive? Are we going to take mine or yours?
Usually want to take yours because it's better gas mileage.
Much better than yours.
Yeah. Okay.
I know you're not always the most comfortable in my little car.
I don't mind your car. So okay. I just don't know if you want to drive that long.
Well,
so.
I don't care about driving that long.
I figured you didn't care. Yeah. I'm more likely to fall asleep behind the wheel after like 6 hours. So. Mm-hmm.
No, I'll be good. You know what I learned lately?
You've got Red Bull. I don't drink that because I get jittery.
You know what? I'm stopping drinking Red Bull because I found out that if you drink too much taurine, it'll give you a peptic ulcer.
Did you find that out by personal experience or from someone else?
I just heard somebody mention on a podcast and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I did a little bit of reading and you have to drink a lot of it, but I don't need that. I don't need that. So I tried to drink a Mountain Dew Kickstart this morning.
Uh-huh.
Not good.
Not good.
Nope. I mean, it tasted fine, but it's not the right answer.
Builders, I'll let you know how this turns out, but I'm going to bet that at some point on our trip down pub, Rob's going to say, and I quote, bleep it, I'm just going to get...
Oh, okay. All right. let me be clear. Okay. So I'm not saying that I'm never going to drink a Red Bull again.
Right.
I'm absolutely not saying that. I'm saying that I'm going to try and reduce my intake.
I see.
Like up to this point, I've been kind of a you know, 2 a week, maybe 3 a week.
That's it? You used to be like one a day, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I used
so you've
to
gotten
be
better. Okay.
I was probably about a 4 a week user for a while there. I'm down to about 2 a week now. And I'm going to try and reduce that to just rare occasions.
Okay.
Also, Red Bull's freaking expensive, dude.
It is. Oh, yeah. It is. That taurine, you know, in addition to peptic ulcers, they give you ulcers just thinking about how much money it costs.
Yeah, yeah. So trying to cut back.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You should learn how to drink coffee.
I hate coffee, man. I know. It tastes awful.
See, that's how I feel about Red Bull. Like, I had Red Bull one time, and I was like, oh, and then I was jittery.
Something just exploded upstairs. So I like taste of Red Bull, but whatever.
That's fair. I don't. That's fair. So yeah.
So
I think that's all we needed to talk about on the updates. Oh, I played some games recently.
Oh, what'd you play?
I got a chance to meet Jason Gutarski, and we played some games. We played a game that makes me so excited that I can't believe I've never played it before. So I'm a huge fan of Phantom of the Opera, right?
Yeah.
You know that.
Yep.
So I got to play one of the games that was inspiration for that, which was Mr. Jack Pocket.
Oh, how good is that?
Mr. Jack Pocket is amazing.
Yeah,
I actually like it better than Phantom of the Opera because it's simple. It's like it fits in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's 9 tiles which make up alleyways,
uh-huh.
And each tile has a different person on it that could be Jack the Ripper, right?
Okay.
Or Mr. Jack. One person plays as Mr. Jack. One person plays as Sherlock Holmes,
mm-hmm.
Watson, and Toby the dog.
Okay,
which is kind of funny to me. And so you set those up, and the idea is at the end of every round, after you've all taken actions, the three characters all look down the nearest alley they can see.
Mm-hmm.
And with that combined total of looking, the person will ask the question, can I see Mr. Jack?
Hmm.
And if you say yes, then, they get the round, they win the round. If you say no, then you get the round and you get an hourglass and you're trying to collect 6 hourglasses. Now remember, there's only going to be 8 rounds in the game because mm-hmm. in the 8th round, they are guaranteed to figure out who it is. Your goal is to get 6 hourglasses to figure it out. And the way you know who it is there are little tiles that have characters on them. And at the beginning, you're randomly dealt one. And that may have 0 hourglasses on it. That might have 2. So in round 1, you might start with 2. You only need to get 4 more in the game. The way the actions work is great, though. There's these 6 discs that have... No. I go, you go twice, I go, four discs, they're double-sided,
okay.
And you take them and you flip them in the air and they land, and mm-hmm. those are the actions you get that turn. And the next turn, you flip them over, and then the turn after that, you throw them in the air again.
That's cool.
And the actions are simple. The actions are turn a tile,
uh-huh.
Swap two tiles, move Holmes on one. On the backside of that one is move Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one that's move, and you can move them two. And there's one that lets you move Toby two. And then there's one that's got all three of them on it, but they can only move one. You can pick whoever you want, but they can only move one. And then there's one that says draw a card, right? A tile.
Okay.
That has a character on it. So as Jack, you want to draw a tile whenever you can, because it might have more hourglasses on it, but it also keeps information from your opponent, right? Mm-hmm. And if your opponent can see Mr. Jack, he then knows everyone that he can't see is not Mr. Jack. So he flips those tiles over, and the tiles on the other side are just alleyways.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, they're alleyways that generally have better vision to make it easier to see, which you can use to your advantage. There was a turn where I made it so he could see everyone. So mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, there you go. You can see everybody. Anybody can be Mr. Jack. You don't know.
Yeah, I have a copy of that game, and I've never played it.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just ordered a copy from Amazon. Cool. I went to our friendly local game store, and they didn't have it. And he said, well, I can order it for you. And I said, cool. How long did you get it? And he said, oh, probably sometime next week or so, if we're lucky. And mm-hmm. I said, cool. No, thanks. And I went over to Amazon and ordered it. So I did try to go to our local game store.
Sure,
but
sure.
I don't want to wait a week and a half. I'd really like to play it this weekend with my wife, because I think she'll really like it.
Yeah,
because cool. She loves Phantom of the Opera, but this is so much more portable.
Yeah, it is super portable.
It's
awesome. That's cool. That's good to know.
You played anything recently?
Well, I played a 4-player version of Galactic Scrappers.
Yeah, how was that?
It went really well. I was very pleased. The mechanics that I added from the last time you and I tested it
mm-hmm.
worked beautifully. I added in fuel cards, which mean victory points,
right?
As an alternative thing to spend your resources on, and that went great. That really kind of just made the game, like, drove decision making. Like, when do I cash in for space bucks to take actions, or when do I save them up for victory points? And this was also the first time we played it with being able to transfer resources between robots.
Right.
And so we set up, once we kind of got into it and got the hang of it, and we're kind of like out there across the board, there were some turns where we were transferring 4 resources halfway across the board in one turn.
That's awesome.
And it was really satisfying. Really, really satisfying.
That's
so
awesome.
So it hit all the high points that I wanted to.
How did the moving your docking ports around thing work?
We didn't do it.
You didn't try that yet?
Okay. Well, I put it in there, but nobody actually needed to do it. No one bothered to do it.
Oh, because you can move faster.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to ditch that and say you can unload at any docking port, period.
Because there was no real decision-making process to needing to move it.
Right.
So why not just let everybody go anywhere? And that will speed the game up a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's going to be the next thing. And then, so taking that out, I just need to think more about, work on balancing the costs for the few remaining actions.
That's awesome.
I'm
super excited for you, man.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I'm really happy. That game, thank goodness, came together pretty quick.
A lot faster than most of the stuff you work on, and that's good, because you were under pressure, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the same for the stuff I work on. I wasn't just saying your stuff doesn't come together, but, like,
no, I guess
generally our stuff takes a while to come together. I mean, every once in a while, you sit down with a game, and you play it, and you're like, how did I make this game so good?
Yeah, right, how did that happen? Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often, though.
No, it's pretty rare. Like, I haven't kind of had that satisfaction from an early playtest since one of the early playtests of Saloon Tycoon, honestly.
Right, right.
So I feel really good about that. I'm still not sure that it's going to be the kind of thing that a publisher will want to pick up from Unpub, but it makes me think that it'll be really good for testing it on Pub and hopefully ready to show somebody at Origins or Gen Con.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes.
So you were planning on making, like, some sort of, like, broomstick thing. For that, you need to figure out something to do.
I just can't think of anything, any three-dimensional thing, any kind of standy thing.
Now that we're driving?
I know. It could bring some easier equipment.
What if I took an old, like, board, like a 2x4-ish type board with a stand? Actually, I could even just use an old, like, broomstick, right? Like a broomstick with a thing, and then put a, like, sign on it, like a pointed crooked sign that was, like, Minecart Madness. That would be, like, kind of cool.
You could do,
like,
that.
Come to this table.
Yeah, you could totally do that.
So now I had resolved to not doing something cool like that because we were flying and I didn't want to hassle with it. But we're driving, so
it's a reasonable option.
Also, we're just going to bring the handheld, right, for recording? Yeah. So that's
good. Yeah, we don't need to bring a bunch of equipment.
Right. That's nice.
Yeah.
But we are planning to record a big episode there, hopefully like our Grand Con episode is the hope. Mm-hmm. We're pretty excited about the prospect of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do our best.
Yeah, so.
I mean, it's always a busy day. You'll have more time during the day than I will.
Well, I was thinking more we should try and snag a few people at night and sit down and do
it. Yeah, so hopefully we can pull that off. Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be great if we could. Maybe like Sunday evening, a lot of people hang out, so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Let's see, what else? I guess I should give a Sloom Tycoon update. So as of this episode's posting, so this is going up on the 14th, so the last day of the campaign is tomorrow. Tomorrow is the end.
Oh, I was like, 15th. What? There's
As of when this episode goes up, tomorrow, the 15th, is the last day to back Sloom Tycoon. So we are in the last 48 hours right now. Okay, so we are recording this actually a week before that. As of today, we are at 864 backers, $54,642 pledged with a week left to go. We're crushing it.
Yes, I think it's safe to say that by now, backers, if you're looking at this, you've got scorpions in your box.
I hope so.
I'm going to be really sad if that doesn't happen, and I'm going to blame the builders.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm not.
So
but
in case you missed,
I will be sad.
In case you missed our bonus episode where we announced that and haven't looked at the campaign, the $70,000 stretch goal, which hopefully we've passed by now, is a new character and a new tile in the game. The character is Calamity Sam. The tile is the Scorpion Farm. Basically, scorpions are in the box.
Yes.
So
yes.
Check out the campaign. So read all about it. If you haven't backed Sloom Tycoon yet, please go take a look at it. I mean, there's so much stuff in that box already.
Yes, there
plus
is.
Plus scorpions with your help. If you've already backed it, thank you so much.
Maybe buy another copy.
Yeah, that'd be cool. This is now the most successful campaign in Van Ryder history.
I feel like you're never going to let AJ forget that.
I am not. Until somebody else beats it. Until someone else beats
either,
it. Yeah. So thanks again, everybody, for all your support. This is super cool. And Christine and I were talking about this. I will never have a Kickstarter this successful ever again in the rest of my gaming career.
That's a pessimistic way to
think
about it.
No. I mean, I think this has been bucking trends, right? This has not followed the typical trajectory.
It is true. It is very true. So
This is kind of a 1 in 100 campaign for the way it's gone.
It is.
And it's bizarre and strange, and I love it. And I'm being very careful to be realistic about it.
Well,
you know,
though, so our premise on the fact that it is bucking trends is based on the fact that this isn't like a phenomenon, but it's also not just a game that's had some sort of lull, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it breaks like 100,000, it kind of is a big deal. And then kind of makes sense that it's been tracking so well.
That's true.
I don't know that it's going to do that.
I would love it if it did.
It would be great. But I'm just saying, like, if that happened, I'm just thinking about that now. If that happened, then yeah, this was an epic campaign.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So it's interesting to think about.
The other thing I have to keep reminding myself, right? Because I need to make sure that I'm realistic about this success so far. So most of the people who have backed the game haven't played the game.
Right.
So
they might hate it.
So I have confidence that they will like it. I have confidence that it will review well because I think it's a great game and I have a lot of confidence.
Well, there's already some reviews out there as well that were all positive.
Yeah. So I have confidence in that. But most of the people who are backing this game are backing the game because of the awesome artwork and because of that animated gift that Evan put together. And it's important for me to remember that. This is probably never going to happen to me again. And hopefully I will have more successful Kickstarter campaigns in my future. Maybe some that even overfund more, that reach higher goals, you know? Hopefully that happens. But in terms of the structure of this campaign, its trajectory. I don't think this is going to happen to me again. And so I'm just loving it. I'm enjoying it. And thankful for every bit of it. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
We should probably talk about a topic.
Okay.
We've been rambling here for a while.
What's your topic?
So I wanted to talk today about tracking information. It's something I've been thinking about recently. Because more games I've seen, several now that I've played, require tracking information for like score on a a pad of paper with a pen. And there was a time when I was all snobby about that. I was like, well, that was a little bad. I don't want to do that. But yeah. I mean, honestly, it's way easier than having like a scorecard or something to keep track of, right? Unless it's a board game and there's like a score track. But like, I mean, I don't mind that games put in little score count things, but like, why not just do it on paper, right? I've got my Hip City game does that. Games like Parade do that. Sushi Go does that. Have you played Sushi Go yet?
No.
That's super fun. We should play it sometime. It's just a pass and draft game or a pick and pass game, as they call it. It's it's a lot of fun though. It's simple, but it's
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it's a good time. Mm-hmm. So you can teach it to anyone. That's what I love about it. It's a really easy one to teach.
Okay.
So yeah, but I was thinking about not just that, like, I mean, there's a simple thing. Yeah, yes, you can do that. It's acceptable. But what about other ways to track information that are like, let's just talk about some good ways to track information in games.
Mm-hmm. So on using the subject or the example of pen and paper real quick. Mm-hmm. So I think pen and paper, anytime I can have everything you need in the box, I would rather do that, right?
Right.
You know, that I think that's just friendly to your players. But I think it's not unreasonable to ask somebody to use pen and paper if the scoring is done at the end of the game. You know? I feel like if you have to add up your score as you play while you're playing the game, I would rather have a marker on a score track. Because then it's something where everybody, it's helpful for everybody to know where everyone else is. And I think there are benefits to that.
I could see that.
And that's something that I've actually come around to, because originally Saloon Tycoon just totaled it up at the end. And,
right.
And I liked it that way. But AJ convinced me that using a score track, it keeps you aware of how everyone else is doing, where everyone else is, and kind of drives more competition. And I think that's fun. And I like that idea.
Yeah, see, I guess when I'm like keeping track for Hip City, when we're playing with other people, I'll say like whenever somebody scores something, I'll be like, mm-hmm. okay, blah, 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 blah. And then we move on. So like I always recap for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't bother me. I mean, a score track, I know sometimes like those little score tracks we use where it's like cards put together or something.
Mm-hmm.
If there's too many numbers on them, sometimes they're a little hard to track with, mm-hmm. and I'd rather just do the math.
Mm-hmm.
Other times they are a nice visual representation
mm-hmm.
of what's going on. But I don't think they're necessary. Yeah. Well, like I said, with a game like Saloon Tycoon, where you've got a board where you can keep track of a score, that is different, right? Cause it's running around the board. Where is actually the score track on Saloon Tycoon?
It's a separate board.
It's a separate board. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I mean, it's a board, right? It's mm-hmm. a thing. It's not like, you know,
right.
like something else. So
yeah. And it's not, I'm not saying that it has to be done that way, but it's just a preference for me.
Right. No, but, that's,
yeah.
That's why we talk about this stuff.
Yeah. So, but other ways to track information.
So one of the things I ran into recently, I was showing Jason Katarski my minecart game
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to bring. I wanted some more feedback for Unpub, and he gave me some good thoughts and told me it was a lot farther along than I thought it was, and that made me feel good
mm-hmm.
Going into Unpub. But I was using like a card that had like 7 at the top, and then it went down with block 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Mm-hmm.
And that was your energy, and you put another card on top of it, and you slid it up and down to track it. And he was like, dude, you got to get rid of this. This is terrible. because he was like, you need to have little energy, like tokens or something
mm-hmm.
that you take out of a pot and you put back in. And what was funny was that's how the game originally worked mm-hmm. because I came with cubes and I used those cubes. So I'm actually going to try that again because I realized he was right.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't visual enough to like, how much energy do you have?
Sure.
I can just look. You have 3 cubes in front of you. So for the current version, I'm going to use cubes. Somebody told me I could get maybe lightning bolt trackers. I think you and Katarski both told me that
mm-hmm.
from Game Crafter.
I think they're on Game Crafter.
The fact that you guys both think that means they probably are.
Maybe they're not anymore, but I swear I've seen them on there in the past.
I'll have to look.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Like little lightning bolts. That'd be great. But yellow cubes work just as well. Mm-hmm. So I've got 35 yellow cubes sitting out, so I could use those if I need to. Yeah. So good times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. Like when it's, you want to do the way that's the most functional, that's easy to see for others, but also that is easy to track and not easy to mess up, right?
Yeah.
Like that was Jason's main point was, if I bump this, then I have no idea where my energy was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I don't, but maybe you definitely don't. And I'm just like, I think I was at 5.
Yeah.
Really? Were you at 3? I don't know. Let's say 4.
Yeah, whatever. Let's move on.
Yeah. So I think that is mm-hmm. important. One of the things I always like as an idea, but always kind of annoys me is I've seen games before. We have player boards where you're like, just keeping little track with like cubes, like, mm-hmm. like a player board right in front of you where like mm-hmm. you have stats and you're moving stuff on the stats. Like
yeah.
that looks cool visually, but sometimes can be, you know, like with Saloon Tycoon, your things are sturdy because yeah. you've got cubes with tiles on top of them. Mm-hmm. But like if you just have like four cubes that are like set at different levels, mm-hmm. it can be hard to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've got five pieces of information you're tracking with those cubes, mm-hmm. if two of them get moved, good luck knowing where you were, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, another solution I've seen, this was on Forbidden Island does this, with the water tracker level. It's like a little thing. It almost looks like one of those sign here things, like you'd hook onto something.
Sure.
Like a paperclip style. And that slides up and down. Oh, and that's cool because it sticks, neat. Right? Yeah, yeah. It's not coming out.
Yeah.
So I think things like that are kind of neat. For that matter, rondelles aren't so bad. King of Tokyo uses that. Is that a rondelle that it uses or no? Is that a
King of Tokyo?
That's not a rondelle, is it? It's a spinner.
Yeah.
But it's like, what is that called?
It's got a name. It's just a dial. It's just a dial.
It's a dial. A dial. Yeah. That works. Yeah.
Right.
I like those. As long as they're not too loose. You want yeah. the dials to be tight.
So that again, when you set it, it stays there.
Right. So yeah. when you, because like with, and they are with King of Tokyo, that's really good quality. When mm-hmm. you pick it up, you're moving your mm-hmm. life. You don't want your stars to spin.
Right.
Unless they spin up. So, no. But really though, one thing I think is having too many extra cards for tracking can be cumbersome as well. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's not even like, here's a little score track of cards, but here's, I've got extra cards that I have to take this card for points. Like Dominion is something that where like your deck keeps getting bigger and bigger, right? But some of that is really just, these are points I'm scoring, yeah. I'm tracking.
Yeah.
And I get for that game balance, they actually are doing something, but I don't know. That's just a thought of some, that's a good game that I can think of where you do something like that, where you're keeping score in your mm-hmm. handful of cards.
In yeah. Within the same thing that you're working from. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. So I think one of the cleverest ideas, I still have never played this game, but Swing and Jive Cab Voodoo Lounge.
Oh, yeah.
I still love that you track information by hanging a little monkey on a yes. martini glass. And I think that's points. I think that's victory points, but I don't actually know because I haven't played the game.
Honestly, don't even care what it is. It's just super cool.
But it's super cool. Like so. little like cool, quirky, funny things like that, I think are cool.
Oh, people use dice to track points as well.
Sure, so, yeah, just rotate a die. Yeah, yeah.
Like we, my wife really likes zombie dice, so we play, and we actually were teaching Josiah how to play it mm-hmm. Recently, because he was like, what are these dice? And I was like, those are zombie dice. And he's like, I want to play. So we're just, it's actually nice, it gets in practice rolling dice, mm-hmm. Like multiples instead of just one, because mm-hmm. You roll three at a time in that game. And we just use it, I think you play like 14 or something technically, but we played a 20, and we just always use a 20-sided die, and we just start sure. at zero and work our way up to 20. Mm-hmm. Builders out there, I don't believe that 20-sided dice have zeros on them. I just want to be clear. That was not what I was saying. I feel like I'm going to get an email that's like, dude, 20-sided dice are 1 to 20. There's no zero. Well, that would be a 21-sided die.
Actually, it's in a lot of cases, it's 0 to 19 on those dice.
No, it's not.
Sometimes. Sometimes they just have a 0 instead of a 20.
No.
I have a 20-sided die.
Yeah, but you said zero on it. You said a lot of times.
Okay, all right. Sometimes.
Like you see that a lot on 10-sided dice.
Yeah.
0 too. 10 is always 0.
Yeah.
Because it's just easier to fit that than 10. Yeah. So, in the same font size.
Somehow I ended up with a die. It was a 20-sider that's numbered 0 to 9 twice.
That's weird.
Yeah. So it's a 10-sider with 20 sides.
That's when you want to give that to a friend and be like, all right, here's your D20 yeah. for playing
D&D. It's one of those things where I think I discovered that while I was trying to use it in a game. I was like, why can't I
why did I roll zero?
I don't think this die even has a 20 on it. Oh, it doesn't.
But it has two zeros, so that's good.
Yeah. So anyway.
So.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of other examples, other options for that, for tracking information. I'm struggling now because my mind is distracted by 20-sided dice.
Well, builders, tell us if you've got any other ideas about tracking information. I think that the main takeaways here are whatever you do, it needs to be clean. It needs to be efficient. It needs to not get in the way of the game. It
yeah.
needs to not get in the way of the experience, and it needs to not be too cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe those are all simple, like, duh tips, but I do think that that's a pretty good way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about Apples to Apples is mm-hmm. is a game where you, when you win a round, you just take the card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said I don't like taking cards, but that is a short enough game simple, to where yeah. it doesn't matter. Finish yeah. it, you do the same thing. Don't you get to keep the card?
Yeah, you keep the hazard card generally.
And again, it's yeah. it's a short, and it's a game where there's a few enough rounds
mm-hmm.
that you're never going to have one like four of those in your hand and you're yeah. sitting in front of you. So it's not cumbersome, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a stack of cards where you have to keep yeah. counting, yeah. right? Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. You're going to pitch a game.
I'm going to pitch a game. We're going to workshop this one a little.
Okay.
I worked on this one today, but it is not by any means complete. But I've been trying to, ever since we had Evan on,
mm-hmm.
I've been trying to think of a idea for a game that that could be like, could involve programmed actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that idea.
Sure.
And I really want to try and work with it.
Yeah.
But then I had this idea where I was thinking about smithereens, and I was thinking, it would be cool if there was a game where you had a boat and the boat was going to sink, right? You know, the boat was sinking and
okay.
it's called like Before We Sink, right? So the boat is sinking. And at first I was thinking like you were fighting a battle, but I was like, well, that is smithereens, but in bone. So I was like, what if you were all on one ship together? And then I was telling Katarsky about it, and Katarsky's like, yeah, there's this game called Red November. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, I hate you. You're right. It's on a submarine. So
you have that game, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I just never played it. But it is over there somewhere in yonder.
I still want to play that sometime.
So, oh, hey, that is your copy of Codenames right
oh,
there, by the
sweet.
Way. That's why I left it out.
Yeah,
so, cool. But you couldn't tell because there's so many other games piled up there.
Well, there's two copies of Codenames.
Yeah, there are. Yeah.
One's mine.
Yeah, the one that's
out.
Standing up. Yeah.
yeah.
So, hey, you broke it, you bought it.
Yeah, right.
Literally. So anyways.
You mean you spilled beer on it, you bought it.
Right. So I was trying to think of some other ideas, and I was trying to think of a snappy title, and the title I came up with kind of drove the theme, and the title was Atmo. Have you heard that term before?
Atmo, it's familiar, but I'm not sure what
it's
it
like
is.
It's like atmosphere. Like,
okay.
So going to leave Atmo, right? So like it's like I've
okay.
heard that in sci-fi things where
okay.
they say that.
We're in Atmo.
Yeah, we're in Atmo.
Okay.
Get out of Atmo, that kind of thing. So so I was trying to think of a kind of a fun little story that could involve a ship, like, and why Atmo matters for the ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, most of the time it would be trying to get into Atmo, right? Like, because you're trying to get in, right? You know, so I was like, well, what if it's the opposite? What if you're trying to escape, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why are you trying to escape? So then I came up with this idea that in this, like, futuristic world on this planet called Alpha Zeta 5, because I was in a hurry, the regime has a big base.
The regime.
It's the Empire, right?
Uh-huh.
And the insurgents, those are the rebels. So the rebels are trying to steal a freighter because they need more weapons. They need more power. So,
sure.
So the insurgents, they go to this regime base, and the game has started when they've gotten onto the freighter and taken off with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their goal is to get out of Atmo. And if they can be out of Atmo for like one or two turns, they can hit light speed and they're gone, right?
Okay.
That's the goal of the game for them.
Okay.
But three really good regime soldiers are mm-hmm. still in the ship,
ooh,
right?
Yeah.
Because when they stole it, these people were already on the
ship.
Sure. So their job is to just keep it in Atmo for X number of turns, which I haven't determined yet. I think I said 10 turns for now.
Okay.
And when that happens, the other ships can come. They can capture the ship and bring it back down.
Okay.
And then we lose the insurgents.
Okay.
So asymmetrical gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so now programmed actions is what I wanted to go with next, right?
Yeah.
So the insurgents are going to start with five characters to be able to do stuff.
Okay.
And the regime is only going to start with three, but the regime's characters are going to be better because they're trained soldiers. The insurgents are just these guys.
A ragtag fugitive fleet.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So there would be a small board that makes up the ship. That could be tiles or cards, but I like the idea of a small player board style board.
Okay.
In that board, the ship has six different areas, where you can do different things. Like there's the cockpit, and then there's a few different security type areas. And so, yeah, so there's all these different areas in the ship. I'll be honest, I really haven't specified what they are yet.
Okay.
Engineering. Yeah. That sort of thing. Right.
Environmental.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Living quarters.
The kitchen. Oh, sorry. The galley.
Right.
Actions are determined this way. So I wanted to give you programmed actions, but I also didn't want to make it too to like, I'm going to do exactly this turn. And then you flip the card over and then you realize there's no way you can do that. And you've wasted your turn. Right. I didn't want to feel like that. Mm-hmm. So instead you pick an action. But then that each character has a movement speed, right? So when I pick an action, you see what action I pick. So the actions that I have right now are assault, which means you attack an area.
Okay.
Steer, which means you attempt to move the ship either from the cockpit or from like engineering, like kind of like backseat driving, right? Mm-hmm. Defend to stop an attack on an area, assault in an area. Hack allows you to control various things within the ship, like so settings in different areas. So maybe you could pull oxygen out of an area or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And survey, which allows you to look at the security cameras, the feeds through the ship. It does nothing for you except for it makes you go first the next turn. So whoever has the most surveys on a turn gets to go first. And if it's a tie, the player who did the first one, right? So you go back and forth selecting actions. So going first, I'll explain why that's a good thing on a turn. But you follow me so far?
Sure.
There needs to be more actions that I'd like to have, like whether, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'd probably like to have 7 to 8 actions. I want it to be a good chunk of actions you can do at any given time.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Even though you know I'm going to attack, you don't know which one of my three characters, say I'm the regime, you're the insurgents. You don't know which one of my three characters are going to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have a move speed of, say, 2 areas. So that means that you know I'm going to attack, but you don't know where I'm going to attack, right?
Yeah.
And I have options to change it, right? Because I'm not going to, I don't have to commit to something. I just, you know, I say, we're preparing for an attack. And you hear that, right? You hear us preparing for an attack, but you don't know where we're going to assault yet. Or assault, sorry. Defend requires that you, when you flip over the defend card, you choose a location. And you say, we are defending this location. And that automatically stops an assault, but not if it's already under assault. So you have to do it first, basically, right? So I want to get my defend card out there before you, and I'm going to come to an area. Now, your turn's still not wasted because you can just assault somewhere else. But mm-hmm. clearly, you know, I know where you want to assault because I'm holding an area. And the idea is that the more areas of a ship I can hold, the more I can limit your options. Like if I can hold engineering and the cockpit, you can't try and steer the ship, which means if I'm the insurgents, I can just keep that thing going towards space, right?
Yeah.
In the ship, it's not like Rocket Wreckers where like I could crash the ship or something.
Sure,
I
mean, sure.
This ship is big and expensive. Nobody wants to crash the ship, right? We all want to try and keep the ship in one piece.
Right.
That's what I have so far.
Okay. I like this idea a lot, actually. This is, I think you're onto something here.
I kind of like the name too. We're like Atmo. Like it's this little, I don't know, maybe you hate the name, but I feel like it's inspiring.
It's fine. So, okay. So I think a few things here. So I think every room in the ship needs its own specific action.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I agree. Or like multiple actions could be done in different areas. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking each room is one specific thing.
Okay.
Okay. So the cockpit is steering.
Right.
Okay. Is maneuvering the ship. Right. I think that the galley would be, I'll get back to the galley. Engineering might be repair damage, or I don't know what that would be yet. Okay. Okay. Let me come back to this.
Lots of specifics here, man.
So the actions that you can program, I think, are things like move. So you can move a guy from one thing to an adjacent room.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think attack is good. So you can attack an opponent if they're in the same room as you. Defend is another good one too. What else? And then it would be use the room action.
Right.
Okay.
Are you thinking like I'm saying where it's like, I would just say room action.
Yeah.
And then you don't, I could go to whatever room I wanted, but the only thing I could do, well, I mean, any room I could move to, if I had a move action and then a room action, I could move.
So what you're doing that, and then each of those actions that you can lay out on cards, and you're going to put these out face down as you go, each of those actions costs a certain number of action points.
Okay.
And the rebels, the insurgents, whatever.
Right.
They have 5 people who can do things, but they have fewer action points to spend on a turn. Okay. Whereas the regime, they have only 3 guys, but they have more action points to spend on their turn.
Big stuff.
So they can do more things on their turn. Okay. And so you have a certain number of action points to spend. And you can spend as many as you have to spend on your turn. But if you don't spend them all on your turn, then you can carry them over to the next turn. Okay.
Okay, so you could like hold up for a turn
right.
and then
okay.
come out guns blazing.
Right. So like the action then for the galley or the room action for the galley would be gain 2 action points for the next round.
Right.
Okay. So what you do then is at the start of the round, you both pick your things, pick your actions, you lay them out in front of you, and then you reveal one at the same time. Okay. And so let's say I'm playing as the insurgents, and the first thing I do is I pick move. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my first thing is I have to move somebody. I have 5 guys to choose from. Right. And I know what's coming up later, so I'm going to move one of them. And you're going to do something at the same time. Okay. Now, I probably, if I had 5 actions laid out here that I was going to play, I probably had a specific plan for that. But based on what you just did, right. I might.
Might go to hell.
Yeah. That play might go to hell. So the next thing we flip over at the same time, it might be use the room action. In which case, I might have been planning to maneuver the ship, but instead, I might be using whatever the engineering thing is,
right?
You know, and I think that is the way you come at that.
That's cool. So then, basically, we both flip it over. I go first, then you go. Then we both flip it over. You go first, and then I go.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then you could even have some actions that were like this action always goes first, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like you can look at it ahead of time and say, okay. I'm going to go, you're going to go. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to play this one because that's going to mean that I go first, even though it's your
mm-hmm.
turn.
Mm-hmm. And then you can stop revealing actions at any time. You can just end your turn and stop revealing actions if you want. Like if you don't like, and you only spend action points as you flip the card.
You're looking, right.
So if you're like, oh crap, this is not going the way I want it to, and I know these next 2 things are, I'm just going to stop where I am.
Right.
Discard those.
That's
and
cool.
Save those action points.
That's cool. Yeah, that's it. Those are really good thoughts.
Yeah,
so.
I think that could be really cool, man. I think it's a great idea.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
I liked it a lot.
So,
it's just 2-player.
I mean, yeah. My first thought would be it's 2-player.
Yeah.
Only because I don't know how you'd incorporate other players in.
I don't know either. Yeah.
But I don't think you have to. I mean, it could be a small game, right?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
54 cards.
Yeah.
And a player board and some markers.
Yeah.
And that's the whole game.
Yeah.
You know?
It could be super easy like that. Yeah. The challenge is going to be coming up with the different room actions that are compelling and contribute something to the
right.
game, I think.
I'm pretty good at that, so.
You are. It's true.
It's something that I do yeah. all right at. So
and
now then, that I have that idea, I could probably work
right.
on something.
And then the other question is, with attacking and defending, is that actually going to kill someone else's person, or is that just going to kind of knock him out for a round?
I feel like killing people would be bad because
yeah, then
you'd run out of cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, well then again, I mean, like if you could remove everyone from the opponent's team, then, you know, you could just say that when you lose someone, you don't lose action points. You still get the number of same points to spend every turn.
Mm-hmm.
But you have less people to do it with, right?
I think your better bet is just kind of like knock them down and they can't do anything for the next round. And maybe one of the actions you can put out there is to stand somebody up again. Revive. It can be a revive thing.
That's true.
Or maybe the infirmary is one of the rooms and it could be a revive. And so anybody who's knocked down, you use the room action in the infirmary and everybody stands back up again.
That's not a bad idea.
You know?
So there should be a cargo bay where you can wear the suit from Alien. I just want to wear the suit from
just because. put on the power loader.
Yeah,
that's
the
fun.
Ability of the cargo is the power loader.
Yeah,
everybody's trying to get to cargo to get the power loader so they can run around the ship and bash things.
Yeah, just for fun, not to actually contribute to success
right.
or failure.
That actually would be cool. One of the things, the reason that the regime people could be so good is they could be wearing power suits, like Iron Man style
sure,
suits, right?
Yeah.
That's how they got to the ship
yeah.
after you took off,
right?
They assaulted the ship.
Yeah. They busted in. Yeah, using
you know,
the power suits.
So they come on like in the back of the ship and you start in the front of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So the insurgents' advantage is that they are steering the ship
mm-hmm.
in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing the regime people have to do is stop them from steering up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just one way or another. So yeah. I like that.
I
like that a lot.
I think it's a cool idea, man.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, maybe at balancing, of course, but maybe make it, you know, out of atmosphere for 3 turns or something.
Yeah.
You know, that has to be tested.
Right.
I think it's a really cool idea. I like it a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens when I think about a lot of ideas and then finally just make them happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I will pitch this game.
I think you could come up with a better name than Atmo. Atmo's not bad, but I think there's a better name there.
All right.
Yeah.
I just like that name. There could be a better theme too. I don't know, but
well, I think theme is fine. So. I mean, so yeah, there could be other themes you put onto
right.
that, but I think this one's fine. It's very immediate sort of scenario, which is right. cool. It's something I like a lot.
That's what I like, is just a little scenario. And you could easily, for replayability purposes, build in little scenarios. Like mm-hmm. in this scenario, you know, you get this special mm-hmm. ability for your team, or you lose this, or, you mm-hmm. know, I mean.
Flip the board over and it's a different ship.
Yeah, that's true. That's yeah. a good point. So double-sided boards, not that hard to do.
Yeah, you could do a five-room ship and a seven-room ship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. If you come up with the right actions for those rooms.
Right, yeah. Make the rooms not suck. Because they would have to be very different from one another.
Right.
So.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. All right.
I don't think we have any Twitter questions. Do we have a voicemail?
Nothing new.
Nothing worth listening to that we haven't played before?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you heard it, builders. All of you guys who left us voicemails, they were terrible. And Jason decided they're not worth listening to.
I did not say that. There was one I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Here, you know what? Let's do this. Actually, let's do this. I've always wanted to do this.
I want to do it. I'm excited about it.
So the last voicemail we got, I don't know who it's from. I think it might be Len based on the phone number. So Len, forgive me for this, but I've always wanted to do this. I am going to read the Google translation.
You've done this before.
Have I?
Yeah.
The whole thing? Instead of playing the voicemail?
Most of it.
Oh.
Well, you always read it and then you play it so we know what it's about.
Well, here. I'm just going to read the voicemail and let you guys decide what it is.
Okay.
PG, whatever works. What's going on? I'm driving to work and listening to your show, and it's just, I'm Wednesday, you know? I apologize. I did not mean to infer or bring any kind of negative tone towards correcting Rob. I was just kind of letting you guys know about Terra Mystica, and finally heard anything also. But also, there's a lot of heavy rose, like you guys were talking about this week, and how to put 30-plus minutes on the box. It's coming with a lot of... They have your euros, which is not quite your guy's stare. So it's reasonable you would not have seen it because you don't play those kind of games anyways. Yeah, have a good day later. I just love how sometimes you clearly know what's going on, and other times it's just like
gibberish.
What?
Yeah.
So
that was Len calling back and talking to us more about
Terra Mystica.
Terra Mystica. So we apparently 30 minutes per player on the box is a common thing, and we're just idiots.
Apparently,
so,
yeah.
So that's I'm happy to be an idiot.
That happens a lot. So
yeah.
All right.
I'm good at being dumb.
Me too.
Okay.
So, all right. I think we're done here.
Okay. So thanks everybody for listening. You know the drill. Follow us on Twitter @podcastBTG, @JASlingerland, @poorly_designed. Like us on Facebook. 5-star review on the podcast places. 770-TELL-BTG to leave a voicemail. Website is buildinggamepodcast.com. Email us buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. Remember, you have 2 days left to back Saloon Tycoon. Check out Saloon Tycoon on Kickstarter. It's the best game of all time. And we love you very much. Bye bye.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Hey, builders, one final check-in here before the end of the campaign. It is Sunday, March 13th, 2016. It's about 12:20 p.m. Eastern time right now. So I'm looking at the campaign. We've got less than 3 days left. Right now, our total is at $64,707. 1,009 backers. So that's awesome. We cracked 1,000 backers. That was kind of the next big milestone that I was hoping for us to hit, and I'm glad we got there. So like I said, less than 3 days left on the campaign. AJ has announced all the remaining stretch goals. Let me scroll through those for you so you can be in the loop. So like we said before, Scorpion Farm, the Scorpion Farm mini expansion is at $70,000.
There's another mini expansion, the rooftops expansion, at $75,000. That gets us some more roof tiles and some extra bonuses. Then at $80,000 is the general store expansion. That adds a general store and another character. And then the last thing is at $90,000, if we can make 90,000 custom player pawns for your score markers. That would be a really cool thing to hit. So with your help, I think there's a chance we can make it. I'm just so excited. We'll do one more bonus episode here at the end that should go up on Wednesday, just to kind of recap how the campaign went. And, so, man, what a ride. Thanks a lot, guys.